day was given by God from creation. God instituted this day as a day of rest. And even before he gave the law on Sinai, we find that he likewise instructed the Israelites concerning this day. For they traveled through the wilderness, and when God gave them manna, he withheld the manna on the seventh day. The sixth day he gave a double portion, and they were not permitted to go out to try to collect the manna on the seventh day, because God had hallowed that day. And they likewise were not even permitted to build a fire upon that day. They were to keep this day holy in commemoration of the creation of the world. This day began at sunset and ended the next day at sunset. The day before was called the day of preparation. This was the Sabbath day under the Jewish dispensation. This day has been changed by the resurrection of Christ to the first day of the week, which is now the Jewish and Christian Sabbath day. This day we likewise are to keep holy. We likewise are to do as God hath commanded us, and we likewise should refrain from all worldly things, and we should attend to the house of worship. How guilty are you and I in this respect on this day? I don't think any one of us can put our hand in our bosom and say, I am not guilty. What things we do, we think, are permitted and which are contrary to the law of God. Oh, may God give us to esteem this day and to reverence it and to use it to his honor and to his glory. These women, they had been spectators of the crucifixion of Christ. They had seen how he had been crucified, how that he had died, how they had taken him off the cross, and how that Joseph and Nicodemus had buried him in the sepulcher. And of course, on the Sabbath day, they rested. But now the Sabbath was past, and it was very early in the morning. We find these women coming to the grave. Other gospels teach us that they had brought spices and ointments to anoint him. This was customary under the Jews because there came such a stench up from these graves where the dead were buried. Therefore, they anointed them and embalmed them with spices and ointments. These women, they arose very early, and they came to the grave where Jesus was dead. I do think I've said this before, and it won't be out of place if I say it again, that these women put many of us to shame. The love that they had for Jesus Christ got them up out of their beds very early in the morning. They arose with that intention to do this last act of love towards Christ. How many of us arise early in the morning? How many of us bend our knees, seek the Lord's countenance first as we begin the day? How many of us take time out to read the scriptures before we go away to our daily occupation, or whether we stay at home as mothers? How many have something over for Jesus? Does the love of Jesus bring you out of bed early in the morning? Or do you lay in bed to the last minute? Oh, the bed lays so good, you can't get up so quick. And when you do get up, you don't have any time to pray, don't have any time to read, don't have any time sometimes to eat. Sometimes you're all out of sorts because you had to get up so quick, and you're unruffled. Is this the way many of you live? How many churchgoers? Yes, probably members of churches arise in the morning, never pray, never seek God's countenance, never bother reading the Word, haven't got any time. They're too busy with their worldly occupation. This is more important than Jesus to them. Is it so to you? I wish it wasn't. I wish that Jesus was uppermost with every one of you. If you are living such a life, may I give you this instruction not to do it anymore. May you begin the day with God. Be mindful of God. He's mindful of you. He gives you the air that you breathe. He gives you the food that you eat, the health that you have. And how many live without God? How many people never enter into a church, never read the Bible? They are living like heathens in this world. All my hearers, do not be like them. Do take a little time out in the morning. Get up and read your scriptures and ask God to bless it to your immortal souls. These women, they had everything over yet for Jesus, even though he was dead. And they came very early in the morning to the grave. They were Mary Magdalene and Mary of James, and we read in Luke and in Mark that Salome was with them. There were then three women. Mary Magdalene, we know, was a creature that had lived to the utmost in sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ had delivered her from seven devils. And the other Mary questioned in this chapter is a sister of the Mary that brought the Savior into the world. And she had a son by the name of James. We have an epistle of him in the back of your Bible. The other woman, Salome, she was married to a man by the name of Zebedee, and she had two sons, James and John, both disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. These three women, they were gracious women. They were very much attached to Jesus. They loved him. They had believed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And now he had been crucified. He had been murdered. He had died. He had been put into the grave. And all their hopes and all their expectations had been dashed to the ground. And still, the love that they had to Jesus brought them out to come to the grave to perform this last act. I think that these women are similar probably to some that are listening to me. How many I do not know. But these women had experienced his love, his favor, his grace. They had been with him. They had ministered unto him. And some of you that are listening to me have likewise experienced something like this in your life. You have been born again. You have been given to change. And you have been given likewise a wonderful time in your life. Everything became new. Oh, what a blessed time that was for you. Oh, then God and his service and his word meant everything to you. You could lay the world on one side and you could walk with God and talk with God and enjoy communion and fellowship with him. All sin was under your feet, and God was in your heart. But there came a time when this all seemed to die away. All the lively feelings that you had, and that smallness and brokenness of heart seemed to go away, and everything dried up. And it seemed as if God had departed and left you. And you were like these women, coming to the grave. You were in grief. You were in sorrow that it was that way. Oh, what made it that way? Sin seemed to get the upper hand over you, and there you were. Now, these women likewise, they are a type of some of you that are listening to me, and those that have experienced this may understand a little bit of what these women were suffering. Have you had a death in your family? Have you lost a beloved mother, a father, a wife, or a husband? Then you know what grief, what sorrow is. You've seen probably your husband. He was your support. He was your strength. He was everything to you. And suddenly he took sick and suddenly he died. Death entered into your home. Oh, when this takes place, my hearers, who can explain the grief and the sorrow of such a woman that has lost her beloved husband? Same way with a husband who has a wife who is so endeared to him and who he has practically worshipped when he sees this woman getting sick. Oh, my hearers, he would try to do everything to get her well again. You husbands that are listening to me, if your wife got sick, wouldn't you do everything you could? And all when you see that no physician can help, nothing helps, your prayers, your tears, you see your wife or you see your beloved relative wasting away by a dreadful disease, finally they succumb. Oh, my hearers, what grief, what sorrow. I'm thinking about Jacob. Jacob, he had lost, to his estimation, his beloved son Joseph. And then they took away Benjamin. And when they came back to him, he says, "You shall bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I will go down to the grave mourning." So I think that these women, they were coming to the grave, and they were in a mourning and in a grieving condition. Oh, my hearers, if it would stay that way with some of you that are listening to me, you sure would go to the grave, but it doesn't remain so. But these women, they came to the grave. And as they were going to the grave, Scripture relates to us that there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and his countenance was like lightning. And for fear of him, the keepers of the sepulchre, they trembled, and they became as dead men. We have here an earthquake. When this earthquake took place, Scripture doesn't give us too much proof or when, at what time, whether it was while these women were coming to the grave or whether it was before this, we do not know. There was a great earthquake. An earthquake is an awful destruction, my hearers. According to scientists, it is caused by explosions of subterranean gases underneath the earth, sometimes a volcanic explosion. And when an earthquake takes place, there is a terrific loss of life and of property. They usually run in veins, as I've explained to you time and again when we have this lesson. Many a city has been buried underneath the ground because of an earthquake, and everybody in it. But when this earthquake took place, and what accompanied it, the Bible doesn't give us too much information. Thinking of this, if it did take place while these women were walking to the grave, they had a lot of courage to continue on to the grave. Another point with these women is this. You know, when somebody dies, I don't know, but most of us, we shun going to a funeral parlor. We don't like to go to see somebody that died. Death is something that we abhor. We don't like that. And now these women were coming to the grave, and they knew that Jesus was dead and was buried in this grave, and they were going to embalm him, we would say, with spices and ointments. They had no fear. And they had nothing in them that shunned them from doing this, but there was something in them that carried them through everything to the grave. What do you think it was? Nothing else but love. Love to Jesus. This brought them to the grave. There was then an earthquake, an upheaval. My hearers, have you ever experienced an earthquake within? Has God ever come down with his Spirit and convicted you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Has he ever held up before your eyes the mirror of his holy law, wherein you saw you were a transgressor of the womb, and where you were subject to the curses of that law? Oh, if you have experienced this, then you have trembled. You have been filled with fear. There has been an upheaval within, an explosion within. And oh, have you by the grace of God been given to forsake your sins and leave them? What a mercy, my hearers, if this has taken place with you. If these people that experience this, oh, they are wrought upon by the Spirit of God. If this angel that came down from heaven, this text says he was like a flash of lightning. We in the summertime, when we have an electrical storm and we see the flashes of lightning flying through the sky, especially at night, we dare not even look at them. They are so bright, and we are afraid that some of them might strike us. But this angel came down, and his countenance was like lightning. All these keepers, when they seen this celestial being, this glorified being who lived in the immediate presence of God, oh, how frightened these keepers were. They couldn't do anything to prevent this angel from rolling the stone away from the door of the sepulchre. They stood there as dead men, stiff with fright. Oh, my hearers, these celestial beings, they have power. As you may see in Scripture, they were gifted with to do many wonderful things. And I was thinking as I was studying about these angels, and this one angel, he caused such fear and fright in these keepers of the sepulchre, all thinking about that day when Christ shall come in the clouds to judge the quick and the dead, and he will be surrounded with thousands and thousands of angels. Oh, it is not written for nothing in the Bible that then the people will cry and pray that the mountains and the hills might fall upon them from before the presence of these angels and Christ upon his glorified throne. Oh, what a day that will be when angels shall gather the elect first from the four winds of the earth, and they will enter and be with Christ. And then the wicked will be judged. Oh, my hearers, if an angel should walk through that door back there, I think every one of us would be stiff with fright. Oh, what a terrible scene that would be amongst us. My hearers, studying about angels. Angels are spirits. We know that they have assumed human bodies. Angels have ministered unto saints while they were here upon earth. They came to them. They talked to them. They sat down with them. They ate with them. Where they got these bodies from? Where they left these bodies? When they went to heaven again is a mystery. Nobody knows. Still, they did take a human body on. But they have no form. They have no similitude. They are like God. They are spirits. We know not what they look like. But where they get the bodies from is a question. And where they leave them, this is something that you and I cannot understand. But they are powerful beings. One came here and revealed his power and his majesty and his glory in turning this stone away from the door of the sepulchre. And he sat on it. as a victorious person. And we find that these women, and they're coming to the sepulchre, and as they're on their way, they begin to think about this stone. It's odd that they didn't think about it before. I'm sure they'd have thought of it before, that there was a watch there and there was a stone in the front of the door. They probably would have never attempted to come. But now they're walking with each other and think, who will roll the stone away from the door of the sepulchre? There was an obstacle then in the way. My hearers, are you seeking Jesus? There are many obstacles in the way. There are many stones which you and I cannot remove. Oh, my hearers, what a stone is a stony heart, a rocky heart. Oh, I and you, if we are seeking Christ, we would like to come with a broken heart. We would like to shed, if it was possible, a river of tears because of our sins. And oh, how often we come with a stone on our heart. Oh, what a rocky heart. Does it ever trouble you that it's that way? God has said that he will take away the stony heart out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh. What a mercy if he gives us this, something you and I cannot do. What a stone, my hearers, is unbelief. Oh, unbelief makes God a liar. It may be that God has given you some promises. They've been so sweet when you received them. You had such faith to believe that they were for you and they would be fulfilled. And all time comes when everything seems to be taken away. And unbelief makes you think that you deceived yourself, that these promises were not for you. Or when you received them, they were worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. But unbelief makes you think they are of no value. Unbelief, oh, how terrible it is, resting upon our hearts, and we cannot deliver ourselves from it. It is only when God exercises faith that we can say, begone, unbelief. Oh, what a stone this is, my hearers, in between God and our souls. Oh, what a stone is sin and guilt lying heavy upon our souls. Oh, what sinners we are, my hearers. And sometimes we think, I do too, that with all our sin and guilt, we will sink yet away from the presence of God in hell below. And we cannot deliver ourselves from our own sins. Oh, no. We can't deliver ourselves from our guilt either. But God has provided one that is able to do so. Oh, what a heavy stone, what a heavy load, what a burden it is, my hearers. You know anything about this burden? Does it ever trouble you? You ever groan and cry to God that he would, for Jesus' sake, forgive your sins and lift you up out of this trouble that you are in? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if you are exercised in this way. Are these stones, they cannot be removed by any human being. We need God to do this. And it was God that sent an angel down that removed the stone from the door of the sepulchre. And we find that they came to the sepulchre, these women. And when they came there, they seen this angel standing there. It's a wonder that they weren't frightened. It's a wonder that they didn't start to run back. But the angel spake unto them and said, fear not. I will do you no harm. Don't be afraid of me. I know why you've come here. I know why you came to this sepulchre. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified and who was buried here. But he is not here. He is risen. Oh, my hearers, How wonderful were these words for these women from the mouth of this angel. This angel proclaimed to them that they should not be afraid. All they sure were filled with fear when they seen this glorified person. But he spake these words to them, comforting them and assuring them that he knew why they were come there. He knew that they sought Jesus. Oh, there lay so much in this, my hearers. That it's even known in heaven, and angels even know it, if you are seeking Jesus. How many persons here are seeking Jesus? Can you believe that it's known in heaven that you're seeking Jesus? You ever lay your heart open? Say, Lord, you know I'm seeking you. You know I can't live without you. You know I want to find you. You know that if I die like with this without you, I'll be lost. You ever come to him like that? It's known in heaven that you do this. Maybe nobody else knows it. Maybe your own wife don't know it, or your husband don't know it, but he knows it. These angels, but they don't know everything either, but this angel knew that they were coming to seek Jesus. And what a mercy, my hearers. If you are seeking Jesus, it is true that there is so much involved in seeking Jesus. Many times, we seek him, but we find him not. Oh, it's such a thing that takes away that feeling that we have for Jesus. But when we seek and we find not. All these women, they came to the grave, and he wasn't there. And it may be in your life that you've came too to those places where you formerly found him. You came in secret on your knees, and oh, it was so sweet to be there. You found access, you found nearness. But now you go and you do not find anything there. You find a world of carnality, and you don't find any true desires coming up out of your heart for Jesus. Your heart is like a grave. And when you discover what you are by grace, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. There's a stench coming up out of your heart. It's just like a grave. How could Jesus ever dwell therein? How could he ever enter in there with his spirit, you say? Oh, you'll find sin so strong, so powerful. Oh, your heart is like a grave. Oh, my hearers, how sad it is when this takes place. Oh, we would always like to seek Jesus with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. But oh, so many times we found him in different places, and then places we go to again and we do not find him. The bride said, I sought him, but I found him not. What a mercy. If it goes according to scripture with us, that these women came and this angel spake to them, and it's comforting, my hearers. Very comforting. You know, angels are ministering spirits. And if you ever come up to the house of God and the minister is given to explain the way of salvation, how that it goes with a poor soul, and what takes place in such a soul, so many marks, so many signs, so many evidences of this life is proclaimed from the pulpit. Oh, they are ministers sent by God to proclaim unto the people of God the way of salvation. And oh, they are so comforting at times. Haven't you found it to be so? But then again, sometimes, what they say and what they preach takes no effect. Oh, how sad it is when it's this way. Oh, we would always receive the word by faith and always believe those things that we hear, and that they likewise have taken place in our hearts. But as I said, unbelief many times robs us of the comforts that God has given unto us and which he means to bestow upon us under the ministry of the word. And these angels were comforting messengers to these women, telling them that they knew that they sought Jesus. Why, if you knew that the angels in heaven and that God and Jesus know that you are seeking him and you have this with an assurance in your heart, how comforting it is. And now the angels spake unto them, and said unto them, He is risen, He is not here. O my hearers, He had risen from the dead. Oh, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the fundamental, is the foundation of Christianity. Without this, all our faith and all our belief means nothing. The apostle says, if Christ is not risen, ye are yet in your sins, and we are found to be false messengers, for we have proclaimed that He is risen. Upon this foundation rests the Christianity of each and every child of God, that Jesus is risen from the dead. He arose in His own power. He came forth in His own strength. It is attributed to Him, and it is also attributed to the Father who raised Him up. Oh, blessed resurrection! He arose. He entered and came up out of this tomb. He laid the grave clothes on one side and came forth. And He came to proclaim again unto His children, unto His disciples, that He was alive and that He would live forevermore. Oh, what a wonderful resurrection this was, my hearers, for you and for every one of us who have an interest in Jesus and in His blood and in His righteousness. Oh, my hearers, this resurrection every child of God experiences in their life. Oh, we all lie dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, we are like those bones that you read of in the valley which Ezekiel saw. Oh, God came to the prophet and says to him, shall these bones live? And the prophet said, Lord, Thou knowest. And as I look at my class, I say, Lord, shall these bones live? You know it, Lord. I can never make them alive. All my teaching and all my speaking doesn't mean anything. Oh, Ezekiel knew too that he couldn't do anything about it. There they lay dead. And God said unto him, prophesy to these bones, and I will cause my spirit to come into them, and I will breathe upon them, and they shall live. And Ezekiel prophesied to these bones. And as he prophesied, these bones, they came together. And there was sinews on them, and there was flesh on them, and there was a great army of them. But there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. Oh, my hearers, there are so many that experience this, what I'm speaking about. And there was a trembling and a shaking and a coming together, but there was no life. There are so many people that have this in life. Their conscience goes open, or they shake and they tremble because of their sins and because of their iniquities. Or they fear that if they die, they will be lost forever. Or when this takes place, then a person begins to turn away from sin. He begins to live a different life. And other people begin to speak about such a person and say, look, see what he's doing. Look what she's doing. They're entirely changed. They're not like they used to be. Oh, what this can do in a person's life, and still, no life. No life. Oh, my hearers, until the Spirit of God comes down into our souls, we can go through so much in life and still be dead, still be lost forever and ever. Oh, examine yourselves, my hearers. Oh, be not deceived with such a great and ever-ending eternity. Oh, how necessary that the Spirit of God enters in and breathes upon us, and then we begin to live. Oh, what a different life we then experience inside. Oh, what newness of heart, what new desires, what longings, what breathings, what simple and upright confessions of sin flow out of our heart to God in heaven the Father. Oh, what a divine change takes place then, my hearers. Oh, may you, if you have not experienced this, be given to do so. Oh, this, what this angel spake, he is risen. Oh, may that enter into our hearts. He's risen. He's up in heaven now. He's sitting at the right hand of his Father. Is he there for you? Is he there for me? Oh, the question should arise in our hearts. Have I a mediator? Have I an intercessor? Have I an advocate on high pleading my cause? Or am I interested in this precious Jesus or no? Oh, blessed is he that hath experienced this first resurrection. Oh, upon him the second death shall have no power. Oh, these women were told that he was risen. How happy they must have been. Oh, to hear that he who they came to anoint, he was risen, he was alive again, their loved one. Oh, the one that they thought they never would see anymore, and they would speak anymore to him. He was gone, but now this angel proclaimed to them that he was alive, he was risen. And he said unto them, go and tell the disciples that he is risen. And go into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Oh, they had a promise that when they would go, they would see him. Oh, they must have left this sepulcher with so much joy in their hearts. I can just picture them, my ears. Oh, the feelings that they had. Oh, they felt so lifted up because Jesus was alive again. And as they ran to tell the disciples, who should meet them? But Jesus himself. He met them and he said, all hail. Ah, my hearers, there's no meeting with Jesus until he meets with us. He met them. He spake unto them, all hail. Now that meant prosperity, comfort. Now that is what the word all hail means, a salutation that the Jews give to each other. And so Jesus met them. He meant that he was for them, and that he was for their comfort, and that he had risen for that purpose. Oh, he met them, and he spake unto them, and they fell at his feet. Oh, thinking about this, the thought struck me. They must have seen the wounds in his feet. They fell at his feet, and they worshipped him, these women. Oh, what a blessed place to be, my hearers. Oh, to be brought to the feet of Jesus. Oh, to worship him. Oh, to be given to believe that he was wounded for our sins, and that he likewise rose again for our justification. Oh, what a blessing these women experienced. They had a promise they would see him, and lo, before they even got to the disciples, he appeared unto them, and they met him and worship him. Oh, that we all were brought to the feet of Jesus and be given to worship him. No better place in this life than to be nothing, to be the smallest, to be the least, to be brought down and to look up at him, that he is our all and in all. My time is gone, my hearers. I cannot continue any further with this. The Lord bless the feeble instruction I have been trying to give you out of this lesson. That's all for today.